Live. Welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Bobby Fenton, back after a week hiatus, so basically 2 weeks since our last show. I was out of town. Could have done a show. Honestly, listen, I don't like to take shows off. I really don't, especially when you only do one a week. Could have done one. Didn't want to force it, though. Said, you know what? Let's let it breathe this week for a little bit. It's a quiet time of year. We got training camp coming up, and I'll hit one hard when I get back into town. So, we're locked and loaded now. Ain't no more vacations. Ain't no more putting things off. Training camp is less than a month away now, and that alone makes me so happy. And I know if you're listening to this show and if you're on this website, it probably makes you so happy too that, like, it's just a different state of mind, like, that time of year. Like, from August through December, and it's not that I'm not a happy person 12 months a year, because I am. But August through December, it's just different. And this goes for the NFL. I'm a huge college football fan. I just, even high school, just knowing around the area, there's kids practicing after school every day. Friday nights, you see the glows of the lights in different little sections of the city. I love it. I mean, I just love it. So, we're almost there. Today, I want to talk about something, as I do so often on this show, because I always love looking back at the history of sports in this area and the history of this Buccaneer franchise and on and on. I want to look back and look forward because we got a little something going on right now that happened this week. And it involves the Rays, but in a lot of ways it just brings back all the memories of when it involved the Bucs in the same exact circumstance 22 years ago. So, the Rays this week, back on Tuesday, they unveiled their plans for their stadium, which we've been hearing about for a long time now, and it's something that obviously has been drawn out for so long that it feels like they should already be playing in a new stadium that was built several years ago. But here we are, and we're still in the planning stages. So, okay. So they unveil the stadium, and I'm not going to get into the whole thing about the idea of the stadium itself. If you're a baseball fan as well as a Bucs fan, you may have followed the story or you've seen the plans. It's got a translucent roof and all that stuff. And I mean, it looks pretty cool. Every new stadium looks cool in the drawings. And obviously, everybody's going to love that idea. But obviously, the biggest thing and the thing that was not answered in any way, shape, or form on Tuesday was how the stadium will be paid for. And that's the part that's going to begin now. And it's going to be a crazy ride. I mean, this whole thing, I have no idea how it ends. I think it ends with the Rays stadium getting built and the Rays playing there, and that's that. I think eventually that will happen. But I have no idea how this actually will end. And in between now and however it ends, all the twists and turns, and all these things are like that. And it got me to thinking this week about 1996 and basically the mid to early 90s in general, and how we almost, if you believe the threats, and maybe they were never really going to be delivered upon, but how we could have lost our football team and how we wouldn't even be sitting here right now talking, listening to this podcast. This website, JoeBucksFan.com, would not have existed if Raymond James Stadium had not been built. How it got built to this day, 22 years later, is a matter of great controversy and a matter of, quite frankly, some bitterness for a lot of people. And the reason I know that is because now that this Rays stadium thing is happening, again, people are bringing up the same arguments again. So, what it comes down to, the Rays stadium has been proposed as something that's going to cost $900 million. That alone, I mean, I still have no idea, and maybe if you're a finance guy or you're someone who's familiar with big ticket construction, I mean, I'm a guy who, my career was in radio before I became a stay-at-home dad, and I still work part-time, but basically, I'm not used to handling more than a few hundred dollars at a time, okay? So I don't, all these big numbers, they don't make any sense to me. They're like Monopoly money. So when someone says the stadium's going to cost $900 million, like, that has no meaning to how. Even 10 years ago, when the Rays proposed the stadium in downtown St. Pete on the waterfront, the one that had like the sail-like covering and all that, and it ended up being abandoned. The plan was abandoned by the Rays shortly thereafter, but that stadium was supposed to cost $450 million, which seemed like a ton. And this is not even a decade later, How has the cost doubled? I need somebody to explain. Realistically, I need somebody to explain that to me when they say, oh, yeah, $900 million. Everybody just kind of says, oh, yeah, it's $900 million. That's what it costs. Like, nobody questions that. Like, how in the hell? It's almost $1 billion. And 10 years ago, the same thing cost half that. And I know it ain't all inflation. So seriously, I don't know. Email me if you know, okay, if you're an expert in this sort of thing. My email address, and I always love hearing from you. I love getting your emails. A lot of you email me, and I appreciate every one of them. And I always send something back and answer your questions or just talk. You know, I love doing that. So my email address is bobbygameday@yahoo.com, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter if you want to just tweet at me or whatever, @bobbygameday. But anyway, $900 million. So, again, I have no idea how that works, but that's the cost. And then, okay, the Rays say they'll, you know, chip in a little bit, which is great because, you know, they're the ones that are actually going to use the stadium. So they say they'll chip in. The headline of the paper even says it today. It's funny to me. Like, it says it in big 3-inch letters in the front of the Tampa Bay Times, like these giant bold headlines. Rays will contribute $150 million plus. I was like, you better capitalize the plus there. I mean, if they put in half, which they're not, but if they put in half, that's a ton of money, first of all, and they would still need another $450 million. And then they say, oh, well, you know, the local business community needs to step up. And then again, this is where the finance guys can help me. I'm sure the local business community would like to make something happen, but $450 million or $600 from the local business? How do you do that? Like, what does that mean? Does that mean like 600 businesses all contribute $1 million? Is some business going to contribute $10 million or $20 million? I mean, yeah, I'm sure naming rights will be, you know, part of that, but that's a small part of it. So anyway, the point is we're talking about ridiculous sums of money. We're talking about very abstract and obscure ways of coming up with that money that nobody, as to now, has been able to define clearly. And we're talking about the very idea of that coming from taxpayer money being a big, big problem for a lot of people. Now, I'm not talking about all this today because I want to talk about the Rays Stadium situation on the show. The point of today's show that I wanted to make you all think about, because I've been thinking about it too, is having your own personal principles, which we all have, and then how do we confront ourselves when those principles conflict with losing something we love? What if it's one or the other? Then how far does principle take you? And I've thought about that a lot lately. Obviously, I've thought about that a lot over the years with the Bucks, because as many of you out there, and again, whatever your political persuasion, whether you're hard right, hard left, somewhere in the middle, a lot of you, rightfully, might believe that it is 1,000,000% improper for public money to be used to build something for private businesses that the private businesses then get to profit off of. That's a perfectly valid opinion. Others of you, again, on varying parts of the political spectrum, may believe, again, 100%, that, hey, stadiums are mutually beneficial. The city is better off having a team, and those costs should be shared amongst the organization and amongst the municipalities. And again, that's a valid opinion, too. Even though people might disagree bitterly, either thing's not, you know, it's not a ridiculous position to take. But what I think we can all agree on, at least I would hope so, is that the deal the Glazers got back in 1996, which people voted on. This isn't even like they shoehorned this in and we got screwed. We voted on it and the people voted for it. The deal the Glazers got is absolute freaking highway robbery. And it still makes me mad to this day when I think about the details of that deal. And every time my blood boils when I think about the fact that the Glazers got a stadium for free and a training facility for free, and then sold the naming rights to it, which doesn't go back into the city's pocket because they, you know, or the county's pocket, but they get to keep all that money without putting in any of their own. And then when you think about USF football having to, just to play there, give the Glazers the money as if the Glazers own the stadium, even though we built it for them, you know, concessions, all that stuff from USF football, that goes to the all that stuff just makes my blood boil. Like, it's so pissed off. But yet, if the alternative to that is losing the Bucks, I'm okay with it. And I remember back in 1996, and I was a naive kid. 1996, I was a junior at Jesuit High School. And I was playing on the football team there for head coach Dominic Sio and Robert Wiener, the wide receivers coach who's now the head coach at Plant. And let me tell you, the week leading up to that referendum, and it was on a Tuesday, I would go to football practice on Himes Avenue there, which, you know, Jesuit, we were right down the street from the old Sombrero. And I would go to practice. I'd finish practice. I had my little half-cent sales tax vote yes sign, which I still have. And after practice, I'd go in the locker room and put my clothes back on, and I had to wait for my mom to pick me up. So, like, she would get off work kind of late, so sometimes I'd have, like, a half hour to kill. And I would actually go stand on Himes Avenue on the corner where Jesuit is, and I'd stand there and hold my sign up for cars passing by just to get a few extra yes votes. Because all I cared about when I was 16, I mean, I didn't care about anything else but the Bucks leaving or not leaving. Like, that was, like, my whole, I was like, oh, my God, the Bucks are going to leave. We have to keep the Bucks. Like, that was it. That was it. And voters felt the same way, apparently, because the year before that, they had had a referendum for a half penny sales tax hike for, like, schools, transportation, like, a lot of good things that, quite frankly, probably should have passed on its own. But the voters rejected it. But then, the next year, same exact referendum, except they threw a stadium in there, too. Oh, now it's for a stadium and that other stuff. Turnout skyrocketed. First of all. Second of all, again, it won 53-47, a very solid victory. And to this day, again, if that referendum had not passed, it's very possible that I wouldn't be sitting here recording this podcast right now. You wouldn't be sitting here listening to it. You wouldn't be on JoeBucksFan.com. There wouldn't be a JoeBucksFan.com, and there wouldn't be a Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and there wouldn't be a Raymond James Stadium. That's possible. If not likely, had that referendum not passed. So it got me to thinking, what if you're one of those people who is, again, dead set against corporate welfare for owners, if that's a term you like to use, and you detest the very idea of raising taxes on people to pay for a stadium that they don't get to use or profit off of. They get to go watch their team play in it, and that's it. Meanwhile, you know, you'll hear all the arguments. Hillsborough County Schools, they've got the air conditioning not working in some places that they've had to fix. It's been delayed. The teachers and the school district just had an extended debate about teacher pay and this and that, and there was almost a stalemate. You know, all this stuff. Meanwhile, you're going to pay for stadiums and stuff. If you're one of those people that makes that argument, but you also are someone who eats, sleeps, and breathes and lives and dies Tampa Bay Buccaneer football, how do you reconcile it? Because people always talk about highway robbery and how the referendum and how the deal the Glazers have is highway robbery, and it is. But you know the thing about highway robbery? When someone comes up to you with a gun and says, give me all your money, what do? When you get right down to it, you give them the money, right? You don't say, oh, I don't know, this is an unfair deal for me. I'm not going to allow this. This is highway robbery. And you don't do that, right? Because they're holding the gun to you. And even though you know it's wrong, and even though you know that person doesn't deserve your money, and even though you know they're robbing you, you let them rob you. Why? Because you know the alternative is worse. You don't want them to shoot you. And it's basically the scenario with the Bucks. It's highway robbery, but you know what? I didn't want them to shoot me. In this case, shooting me is taking the Bucks away. Out of our lives forever. So yeah, it sucks. Yeah, I'm against it. But my principles, we all do this every day. We all have principles. But we all only take them so, and some people take them to the very end. And those people, whether you disagree or agree with their principles, at least you have to respect it. Because some people will not compromise and they will not bend, no matter how much they love something. But it's not so easy for a lot of us, is it? And I bet you a lot of you out there right now may feel like me. Because for this Ray Stadium, I don't mind a little bit of public money going to it. But the numbers are so astronomical. I wouldn't mind, like, okay, $150 million. We're going to do a rental car tax or so. Okay, fine. You know, whatever. I go out of town. I get dinged on rental cars when I go somewhere with my family. You probably do. Two people come here, same thing. Whatever. You know, if it pays for it, fine. But when we're talking about like $600 million, I don't know. Maybe the Rays will figure out a way that this doesn't come to that. Maybe we will only have to kick in a, you know, a smaller sum. Although some people don't even think that's okay. But I think we always, in life, a lot of us at least, are always rationalizing with ourselves in one way or the other. Because you can't get through life just sticking to all of your principles 1,000% of the time ironclad without giving other things up. So you have to decide when you want to give something up and when you don't. Another thing for me, and this is just another example, I've always been a big meat eater my whole life. Love meat. Can't get enough of it. I've also always been a big animal rights guy. And my wife, who's vegetarian, she's not vegetarian for moral reasons alone. She doesn't actually even like meat. But you know, she would always say, you know, one day we were out at something, at some ranch or something, I forget what it was, and I was actually like up against the fence where the cows are, and a cow actually walked over to me and I started petting it. It was cute. And she goes, and she was with me and she starts petting it and she goes, you know, it's funny that you would eat something that you would treat like this. You're petting it. Like you're eating something that you pet when you eat red meat. I was like, yeah, I don't have it. Like I didn't have an answer for her. Like I don't have an answer for that. I love red. I mean, I really do love red meat. But I mean, the cow was right there, and it was a very like sweet. I mean, the cow had a personality. And she's like, you ought to think about that. You know, like here you are petting a cow, and yet you eat red meat by the pound. And I'm not telling you this analogy to try and get you to stop eating meat. I'm not trying to shame anybody. I'm just giving you an example. So I thought about that, and I was like, yeah, you know, I'm always talking about animal rights. I'm always talking about animal mistreatment, you know, the way they treat the cows or the chickens or the, you know, pigs or all the things we eat is not always great. And I do my best to get my meat from places that I think do treat them well as they're being raised, but you have no guarantee of that. So anyway, the point is I gave up red meat after that conversation. And yet I still eat chicken and fish. And I said, okay, well, I won't eat mammals anymore. No more cows, no more pigs. Fish, whatever you want to call it. Chickens are kind of midway. So basically, I'm just again, bargaining with myself. How far do I want to take my principles? Because if I really didn't want to hurt animals, I wouldn't eat anything at all that was living. But I'll still eat fish. I'll still eat chicken. I just don't eat mammals. I drew the line at mammals. So that's where I drew my line. That's the point I'm making here. It's not about meat or no meat. It's about, you know, a lot of us can say we're into this or that or the other, and we believe this or that or the other, but where do your actions actually let you draw the line? And you may have been against, and you may still be against, money for sports owners, free stadiums for sports owners. I'm against it. But if you put that referendum in 1996 in front of me today and said, vote yes on this or the Bucks are going to leave, I'd vote yes on that thing again. Without even thinking twice, I would vote yes on it. You know why? Because it's highway robbery. But being robbed is better than being shot. And I simply could not imagine. I mean, every time we host a Super Bowl, we've had two of them at Raymond James Stadium. We're supposed to have another one in a couple years. Every time I go to a Bucks game, every time I watch a Bucks game on TV on the road, anything, I think about it. I think, man, what if we never had, like, what if the Bucks just weren't here? Like, what if they didn't exist? What if they became Baltimore's team? Before there was a Ravens, that could have been the Bucks moving up there. And that, to me, just was not acceptable. It was even more unacceptable than giving the Glazers an extra half cent for every dollar I spend in Hillsborough County, which you don't even notice, by the way. I mean, it's the principle of it. Yes, they shouldn't do it, but it's not like, I mean, you know, people complain about all the tax, but if you buy a car, I guess there's a little extra difference or something like that. But when you go to the store, it's a couple, you know, cents more. I don't care about that. Maybe, and I don't know if they've done, I think they have done studies on this, the average, like, tax burden on a household with a half cent increase over the course of a year if you're a family living in Hillsborough County. And I think it's a few hundred bucks maybe, something like that. Again, depending on, obviously, your level of consumerism. But I just, it's in the abstract. Again, it's not like I get a bill every year, hey, you paid this to the Glazers for the free Bucks stadium they got. You know, then it might sting a little more. But I don't notice it. And I wouldn't notice it if they did it again, you know? And yet, in principle, I don't like it. But I would love to know from you guys. And again, email me if you want to, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. I might do a Twitter poll as well. You know, you can say this, that, or the other. Oh, I don't, they shouldn't do this. That's ridiculous. And it is. I mean, the deal the Glazers got is ridiculous. And the Glazers absolutely played this area. And the local politicians bought it because they didn't want to be the ones that lost the Bucks. So they're like, hey, and Malcolm Glazer actually said, and this is a quote, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but he directly said, you know, that we'll pay for around half the stadium. Like, he actually said that out loud at one time. But then they started asking for a little more and a little more. And Joe Henderson wrote an article about this today. If you actually look it up, it's in the Tampa Bay Times, or if you go online or go to the Tampa Bay Times Twitter account. But Malcolm Glazer back then, you know, started out kind of saying the same types of things Stu Sternberg is saying. And I don't think Stu Sternberg is going to be able to get the deal Malcolm Glazer got. But he said, yeah, we'll kick in about half. It was, quote, about half. That's a direct quote. And then he had increasing demands for concessions from the city and county, and it seemed like it had kind of been the plan all along. And eventually they just started asking for stuff and asking for stuff and asking for stuff until they couldn't think of anything more to ask for, and they got it all. And they got it all. And yet again, if we had told them no, we would have had those principles, boys. Screw you. Get the hell out of here. You're not going to take us for a ride, Glazer family. But then the Bucks would be out of here. And it feels like cutting off your nose to spite your face if you're a Bucks fan. And I know every day that goes by, again, as much as I might not like it, I don't regret it at all. And I'll bet you a lot of you feel the same way. Would you give up your team right now? Would you go back and change history, knowing everything you know that's happened in the past 20-some-odd years, including both the bad things and the good things, like a Super Bowl championship? Would you give all that up to have your principles? Hey, we didn't give those guys our money. We didn't let them take us for a ride. Tampa stood strong, and we don't cave to wealthy sports owners. Would that make you feel? It wouldn't make me feel better. Even though it's true, it's right, it would not make me feel better. I just would have been sad all this time, and I'd still be sad. I can't think of anything sadder, in sports at least, than a team leaving like that, and especially, like I've told you guys before, I go all the way back to the old country with this stuff. I've been a Bucks fan, but the only thing in my life that's basically the same here at age 38 as it was at age 7, there's almost nothing outside of my family that's the same in my life except for that, being a Bucks fan. It's one of the only, because the Lightning came after I was already kind of a little older. I was in middle school. Rays came when I was in college. University of Florida, as I've told you before, I'm a big Gator, but I was in college, I started there. But the Bucks, they are the one constant. They have been in my life since my mom, pregnant, walked up those stairs, I say it every other show, in 1979 for the Bucks Chiefs in the rain, the Bucks Rams NFC Championship game, and I was inside her tummy. And ever since then, nothing. I can't imagine the Bucks not being a part of my life. I really can't. Just as a fan. And so, again, you can call it highway robbery, but when someone tries to commit highway robbery against you, usually give them the money because you know the alternative's worse. So that's something I'll be thinking about a lot as this Rays Stadium thing progresses. And again, I don't know how it will end. I'm not even sure how it should end. I don't want the Rays to leave, but I also don't believe that's as big of a threat as it was with the Bucks. You got to understand, you know, people, you'll always go, if you read any online article and go to the comments section, or if you go on Twitter and anybody makes a crack about Rays attendance or whatever, there's always going to be at least one moron who apparently doesn't understand the joke's been made 7 million times already and has no sense of originality. And they'll always be, oh, Montreal Rays, am I right? You know, everybody thinks they're the first one to make the joke. Major League Baseball is expanding. It wants to expand, okay? So it wants to go to 32 teams. There's 30 teams right now. They're not going to be relocating teams because they're going to be adding teams. So Montreal will get a team, I believe. But they want to add two teams and make it an even 32 and have either 4 8-team divisions or 8 4-team divisions. There's going to be a lot of change in baseball over the next 15 to 20 years. And so relocation is not a thing in Major League Baseball right now. I know everybody likes to make the joke, oh, the Portland Rays or, oh, Montreal, you know. They're not taking a team out of the top, you know, what are we, the 13th largest media market in the country, if you count Sarasota. Without Sarasota, I think we're still like 18, a top 20 media market. They're not going to do that, okay? Especially when they've got spots to give out already, much less, you know, moving teams around. So Montreal will get their team, maybe Portland or somewhere else. But the Rays are staying here, and this is going to get worked out, I think. They're not moving. But how ultimately creative they have to get to make it palatable for everybody involved, both the Rays. And listen, I know these guys are rich, but I also know it's not realistic to expect them to spend $900 million of their own money on a stadium. That's not going to happen anywhere. How much they should give? Well, that's going to be part of this whole thing. And that's a part of what Joe Henderson's column is about. It's a good article if you go read it about, you know, what to expect coming up here. And looking back at the Bucks situation from 22 years ago, he does a good job of tying it all together. And that's what I was hoping to do on this show today because it got me thinking about it. But one way or the other, when I think about like my son who's 6 years old, my daughter, and the thought of going to Rays games with them over the coming years and things like that, that is good. I like that. That makes me happy, and I want to be able to do that. And even though my principals tell me, don't give these guys too much, at the end of the day, I also know how far the line goes, and it doesn't go past letting this team leave, and it didn't go past letting the Bucks leave either 22 years ago. And as bad as the deal is, I'm glad 53% of the citizenry in Hillsborough County at the time, or the voting citizenry at least, made that decision as well, and I think we're all better off for it, and I know that because, again, you're sitting here listening to this podcast, and I'm here recording it today when none of this would have existed otherwise. So, at the end of the day, take your principles as far as you want. Your principles are the only ones you have, but just know, I think we all flex on them a little bit, even though we may not want to admit it, because what really matters is the end result. So with all that, again, email me if you want to, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. If you think I'm a sap, if you think I'm a pushover, if you think I'm a sports owner's, you know, wildest dream, oh, this guy's great. These guys, they can take the people like Bobby for all they want to. Hey, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. But I'm not complaining about it today. And with that, we'll be back next week. Again, we're very close to training camp. I'm excited. I want to talk more about the outlook for the season because it's funny to me how wildly inconsistent the outlook for the season has been from the end of last year when we almost fired our coach and then didn't. And it was like, oh my God, I guess we're just going to put this off for one more year and then fire him. And then all of a sudden free agency happened with the draft, all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, hey, these guys, they can make a run. 11-5, 12-4, what do you think? And then now all of a sudden the Jameis thing happens and we're back to, oh my God, we suck again. And actually nothing really has happened through all of that. It's just perception. So we'll talk about all that next week and plenty of other things. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I want to thank the Joes for giving me the ability to put this show on the air and get in front of you guys to hear it. Email me anytime, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. On Twitter, I'm @BobbyGameDay, and I am Bobby Fenton. And that is the free stretch for mid-July. Enjoy it. I'll talk to you next week, and wherever you are, good afternoon, good evening, good night, and go Bucks.